This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I am Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. We are live from Steelers training camp here at St. Vincent College, and the Steelers just wrapped up their penultimate practice of this training camp, and I got to tell you, not the
least eventful practice of the year.
It was pretty much a walkthrough.
Yeah, exaggerated walkthrough.
Yeah,
almost. Which, hey, I mean that was by design. I mean, yeah. We're not saying they didn't try hard out here or whatever. I mean, it's just a down day in terms of physicality, the testing of it. I'm sure they have some sports science people. Maybe they're even telling them, "Hey, he's back today."
Yeah, you know, scale back a little bit, because you're going to play your guys.
And I would, my hunch is, if you were to interview some of the coaches, they'd say this is more of a mental day, you know, knowing where to be. Again, sort of a walkthrough environment, but against a scout team type look. So that's the purpose behind it all. And I know that might not be super exciting for everybody out there, but this is a marathon, and you're managing a football team for hopefully all the way up until, you know, the Super Bowl. And that's the plan. And days like this are important to not beat the crap out of these guys, you know?
Yeah. Just watching George Pickens catch and throw the football down here. He's throwing about 10 yards away from the coach who he's throwing with here. Yes, he can zip the football a little bit.
Yeah, I just saw that, yeah. It comes out quick and it comes out hot.
Yeah.
I see some more of that.
Yeah. Here we go.
It's a weird little release,
It's a real short release, but, man, it comes out hot.
It comes out hot, yeah. That's funny.
You can imagine he just, whatever, you know.
I'm sure he's good at a lot of stuff.
That he wants to do, he just picks it up and does it.
That's a strange release. The thing comes like to his ear, but like there's no backswing to it at all.
It's just straight to the ear and out.
Yeah. It looks like he's even competing with that. I get the impression that he just competes with everything.
Yeah.
He's ultra competitive.
Watching Derek Tuska do a practice, some long snapping down here. He's one of the guys, he's working with Christian Kuntz.
Couldn't hurt his cause.
It's one of the guys that he mentioned as the possible backup at the long snapper. Also mentioned that one wasn't so great. He also mentioned that LeGlue is a potential.
Yeah, I think you mentioned him before.
Guy there.
Yeah, yeah.
The other guys, the Watt brothers.
Of course.
Derek and TJ.
Yeah, of course.
Because why wouldn't they?
Right. Yeah, they probably did it on their high school team or something, and have some experience. Derek should work on that. He probably does. But
I'm sure he does. Yeah.
I think that's who you'd want to be the backup. Although, if he's the backup long snapper, then whatever his position is on the punt team or whatever has to be filled by somebody else.
Right,
you get worse at two spots.
Yeah, yeah.
And same,
but that's an emergency situation. So.
Yeah.
But they do have guys that work on this. It's not like often.
No, you it's know, not like.
People talk about, well, don't they work on that? They got guys who work on this stuff.
They can work on
it,
yeah.
Now, you do it in this kind of setting, you might not do it again during the regular season.
You might not do it. But the Danny and coach know who the backup long snapper is and the third string guy an hour before game day, in case he goes down. They know the pecking order.
Depending upon who's available.
Yeah. Contrary to popular belief, it's not, hey, our long snapper went down. Who do you guys think we should put in?
Yeah.
On the headset, as you're kicking off.
I'm watching Tuska do this, and I don't know that he's going to be in the mix.
You don't love his chances, huh?
He bounced the last one back. Let's see if this one's a little bit better.
Oh, that's horrific. It has no juice on it at all. It's a lot harder than you think.
It really is. You got to get that
two-handed
spin on it.
Yeah, you have to go create a lot of velocity, a lot of RPMs with the spiral.
It's funny. I talked to Quince about that today, and he said that he did it for 1 year at Duquesne.
Did he?
He was a long snapper for 1 year at Duquesne. So he was at a tryout as a linebacker with the Packers. And
undrafted.
Undrafted guy. He's there for a tryout. And John Wojciechowski, who's a finalist for the Steelers GM job, one of the guys, and he said, he was there, and he was a Wojciechowski's a Duquesne grad. He said, hey, didn't you long snap 1 year at Duquesne, weren't you a long snapper at Duquesne?
He just happened to know that because of his Duquesne connection.
Yeah,
he said, if someone else had a tryout at long snapped, he wouldn't have known it.
And Kuhn said that, he said, yeah, I did it. He said, let me see you do that here after you do your linebacker workouts. And he said he did it, and Wojciechowski told him that,
you're not bad at this.
Why don't you work on that in 3 or 4 years? You'll be in the NFL.
Wow.
And here he is.
Wow. That's amazing. I tell this story too often, but I always think if you could teach a young kid to only long snap and they have some size and some athletic ability, you'll probably get a scholarship out of it.
Yeah,
there's
that's
not many
the thing.
Of them.
You
nobody wants to do it.
Nobody. It's not something that everybody works at.
Mm-hmm.
And
especially if you have a little bit of a linebacker background and can tackle
linebacker
and run.
Linebacker slash tight end. That's why I see a lot of those guys. That's what they went to
the
college.
That's the body type.
As,
you don't want 300-pounders doing it, you know.
Well, that's what people – when people ask, you know, why don't they just use the center to do it? You don't want your center to – you're not putting a center out to go run down a punt.
They don't have to tackle anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, you think they're going to get a Ray McLeod or a guy like that on the
field?
Yeah,
that's fine on field goals and things of that nature.
Oh, yeah.
But not for punt coverage.
No, then you're trying to get tackle one guy with 10 instead of 11, really.
Right. Actually, 9 because you don't want your
punter going either. Right. And you decrease your chances of making a big play in a big way.
Absolutely.
Some of these stuff after practice are fun, though. Yesterday they were playing soccer, and you see them do things that they're out of the ordinary. And it's kind of looks like they're all having fun today. Pickens is having a blast by himself here.
Yeah, he's out there running around like a
– Yeah, he's having fun today.
Like a pony.
Yeah.
A newborn pony.
And
just
I'm sure
the legs up.
There's a human nature to this, too, that they're looking forward to camp being over. And, you know, I'm sure they're getting a lot out of it, but – Yeah, we've been here a long time. I wouldn't mind going home tomorrow either. Tomorrow, I'm sure they'll be bouncing. You know, like there'll be a lot of energy here tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. No soccer ball today, though.
No. That was fun to watch it yesterday, I guess it was.
Yeah. But a lot of guys still out of here in the field getting some work in.
I think this is Benny Snell on the jugs.
Yeah.
I didn't see much from him today.
He did some.
I mean, he was out there.
He did some stuff, yeah. It's tough to tell.
I'd say the running backs in general didn't do much either. I mean, they're not out there breaking tackles. You know, they're just running real basic runs and things like that, fits and form, you know.
Yeah. And, of course, Deontay Johnson's still out there working, catching the football.
Najee as well.
Najee watching him go through his drills. And that's the thing with Johnson. Like, you know, he's not a vocal type leader.
No, right.
The other guys see him out there doing this stuff.
Yep.
And that's beneficial.
How do I get a contract, too? Well, this is a start.
Yeah, put the work in.
Put the work in. How do I catch 100 balls? How do I become a Pro Bowler? Well, here's an example. You know, right. And what he's doing it's not an accident.
You know, this is after, you know, running 50 routes during practice.
Yeah, right. And sometimes it's 100 degrees and, you know, you're beat, but you're going to do it anyway.
Just getting the work in. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, that to me, again, that's leadership. That's, you know, the other guys see that.
Yeah.
And it becomes, they start to do it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, you see other guys out there.
And that'll only increase. I mean, his reputation will keep growing. He'll get a little older. He'll be a little more mature. You know, I mean, there's a 27, 28-year-old here. Like, this guy's been doing it for a long time. He becomes a leader.
Yeah, that's how this works.
A lot of families and kids out there again today, too, which I get a kick out of some of these little dudes running around on the field.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the player now. Was talking about doing that, you know, when his dad played, and he was.
Oh, really?
He's, you know, I'm out there running around the football field with all these great guys, and
right,
and then you become that guy.
I say, I mean, was it Ironheads kids?
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there is something to be said for growing up around it and understanding the professionalism, as we talked about, and just being around these guys.
I'm watching Jalen Warren walk across the field here again. Got the football tucked under his arm.
Wonder how much longer that's going to keep up. Probably through tomorrow. Yeah, I would think tomorrow is the last day for that.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll put him on a plane to Jacksonville the FBO center in Pittsburgh.
Driving his car back to his apartment or house or whatever, ball under his arm.
But it's just funny to see that because that's something you'd see in high school.
Yeah, that's a college high school thing. You know, he fumbled once in a game. You know, I don't think that it's the end of the world, but they're stressing it, which means that they care about him.
Yeah.
If they didn't care about him, then none of this would be going on.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a big game for him this weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, don't do that again.
Don't do that again. I want McFarland to build on what he did, too.
Yeah, that's who he's walking with right now. Both of those guys have had really good camps.
Yeah, and they would be a fine set of compliments to one another if Harris were out. And I think both will actually see the field if Harris is 100%.
I think that for sure with McFarland.
Yeah, for sure with McFarland.
I think he's kind of carved out a little niche for himself here. Mm-hmm. Even with that wide receiver room being as deep as it is, he brings a little bit of a skill set there, a little matchup issue.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know what you do if you're the opposing. You're not going to put a corner on him.
No, because then they'll run all over you.
Yeah.
Right.
And you're not going to put a safety on him because.
No.
So it's going to be a linebacker.
I think that's why you pay Derwin James. You know, like those type of dudes that are
But again, if he's taking Derwin James out of the equation,
then Freiermuth has something going for him.
That's a win for the offense as well.
I mean, it's pretty rare to find 5 to 7 really strong cover guys, and the Steelers' fivesome that they put out there on offense demands it. You know, I mean, if it's a McFarland or, you know, even Hayward now.
Yeah, they've done a nice job of building this receiving group.
Yeah, the pass catchers.
The group of pass catchers that they have. Different shapes, sizes, speeds.
Mm-hmm.
Summer blockers, you know. Yeah, they give you a different look out there with those guys. Whereas, you know, we started the show off today talking about the secondary. The secondary, they've done a nice job of finding pieces that are similar that they can mix and match with.
Yep.
Ask them to do the same job.
But there's still a lot of them.
Yeah, this pass catching group is just
real similar.
Yeah, it's just there's a lot. There's speed. There's size. Their size and speed.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting.
That was one of my problems with McLeod. You know, it's like, okay, if you're a super dynamic guy or you have as much big play ability as Calvin Austin, I don't care that you're that small and don't block anybody. You know what I mean? But I just didn't see enough of the positive, you know, and he was out there a lot. I mean, that's
part of that was the
50 snaps
too.
Versus 5 snaps, too, is a big difference.
Yeah.
If Ray was out there a dozen snaps, I wouldn't have had a problem with it.
Yeah, I think part of that was just the offense that they were running as
didn't
well.
Didn't help. You know, didn't know.
He's not a guy who's going to catch a 5 yard in, break a tackle, and you know, is off to the races.
No,
that's just not his game.
And I know the Niners like his after the catch stuff, but he's not going to be Debo or Ayuk after the catch or Kittle or you know what I mean. They signed him to be a returner.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's see how that works out for him this year.
No, I'm rooting for him. But, you know, it's a good offense for him to go to, but they needed a returner.
It looks like the Benny Snell's still down there catching footballs. As is Deontay Johnson. You can't say these guys don't put the work in.
No, they definitely do.
Got some guys down there working on some pass rush stuff here on the other
end. Those are the other end zone.
Corners working on
releases and presses and right.
So yeah, guys always out here.
There's always a handful of them still well after practice.
Yeah,
so a lot of kids out there too.
And that's the thing, you know. I see people now questioning, you know, like Devin Bush's effort.
Effort's not the issue. I think it'd be different if there were reports coming out left and right. This guy doesn't work. He doesn't listen. You know,
he's out of shape.
Right.
Things of that nature. That's not
the
case.
I've never heard anything close to that on Bush. You know, or Rudolph, who's also in the doghouse for whatever dumb reason. You know, I mean, those guys are workers. Rudolph, in particular, I know puts in a ton of time. I think Bush does too, and he certainly had that reputation coming out of Michigan as well.
Yeah. I just think with him, the interviews that he has done, and obviously there was one yesterday, I don't think he's real comfortable in those kind of situations.
I'm glad you explained that to me because I kind of feel like I'm one of the other fans that saw that and thought, this isn't very endearing. He's not very engaging. You know, he's got a hat on, he's chewing gum, and he's got his head down. You know, like, be more interested was my initial thought. But then you kind of laid it out and said, he's not super comfortable doing these things, you know. Not everyone is. So
it is rough. I mean, you think about it, and I've interviewed thousands of people over the years, you know, from young kids to, you know, people who are 80 years old plus. Mm-hmm. And some guys are just very comfortable in their skin in those kind of situations, and some aren't.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to have that in this situation as a professional football player.
Right. It's not for everyone.
It isn't. And some guys get used to it. Some guys start off not very good at it or purposely bad at it. And then they kind of realize that, hey, I can have fun with this. And some guys just never get that to that point.
I bet. And people get better at it as well.
Yeah.
I mean, they're fortunate enough at the college, especially you go to a big school and NFL level, that there's professionals that tell you better ways. And I'm sure that's even true with Omar and Andy, and, you know, they're going to be or brand new head coaches, you know, like all these Patriot assistant coaches that went on to head gigs. Well, they were never in front of the camera in New England either.
They weren't allowed. They
never
got the opportunity to do
that. And now they're the face of the Giants in New York.
You know,
every day, or the Lions or whatever, or Notre Dame, or, you know, all these places these Belichick disciples went to. That had to be a brutal adjustment for those guys. And they've been exiting and owing it up and behind the scenes, and now they have to do all that stuff.
Yeah, and they didn't exactly learn from the master with Belichick.
No, they can't take the same approach at the podium.
Right. I mean, I can remember talking to him when he was still the head coach of the Browns and like, wow, is that guy just bland?
Right.
And he wasn't winning at that point to be that guy.
You don't get away with it then. Yeah. Right, yeah. It's kind of like if you fungus on your shower shoes and you're winning 20 in the show, well, then you're colorful.
Yeah.
But if otherwise, you're just a slob, you know. Same thing. When you got a bunch of rings, well, Belichick's
do what you want.
Belichick's
yeah.
Belichick. That's the way it is. But yeah, if you're winning, if you're Patricia and you're not winning any games and you're taking that same approach, well, it doesn't fly quite as well.
Not quite as well. You're not going to make any friends in the right places, and you're going to get skewered. Matt, let's take another break. Okay. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to our live coverage here from Steelers training camp on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I am Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson. We are live here from Steelers training camp at St. Vincent College on ESPN 970 and Steelers Nation Radio. And Matt, there's a couple pieces here on the Ringer I wanted to talk about here. This is by Shiel Kapadia.
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying that correctly?
No. Shielkapedia.
Close. Is that like Wikipedia?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
the Shielkapedia.
He's predicting how every NFL defense will perform in 2022. He also predicted the offenses.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, looking at this, he has the Baltimore Ravens as the number one defense this year. I don't know if I see that.
I was a little shocked to see that, too. I didn't really go through this, but I saw the very top and thought, really, number one? I mean, I
Where's
think
the
secondary is
from?
Really deep, and you can blitz a lot. But as that's what I'm about to say is, who are the pass rushers? And I don't love the linebackers either.
No, I don't either.
The front seven in general is okay.
Yeah, it's just kind of, eh.
Yeah, I don't see that. But I assume he assumes they'll rebound in a massive way from all the injuries. But they were one of the worst defenses in the league last year.
Yeah, they finished 31st.
Right.
You know, I understand they were missing a bunch of guys, but
of course,
31st.
I mean, still, it's amongst the worst in the league, if not the worst. You know, right. Yards per play was really bad, too, and the pass defense was horrendous.
Number two is the San Francisco 49ers.
I'm pretty much on board with them.
I think they'll be pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, they rush the passer well without having to blitz. They have stars at the second level. They're well coached. I'm in on them.
Yeah. Buccaneers third.
Okay. My only worry with the Bucs kind of across the board is I hope they just don't get old this year. You know what I mean?
Like they keep bringing the same team back.
Yeah, basically. You just keep running it back, and that's hard to do in this league. But they do have some young guys like Winfield and, you know, Tryon and guys like that that they've drafted recently. So I think that'll be a good D.
They blitzed 38.7% of the time last year. That was the highest in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And now Todd Bowles is running the show.
Yeah, he's
it might go up.
And he's done this in the Jets. Yeah. I mean, he did this every stop of the way. He is a blitz guy.
The Rams are number four.
Okay. As long as the stars are stars and stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, but their guys are getting older.
They're getting a little older, and it's a little bit of a fragile model. I mean, if it's not Ramsey and Donald, they're the other guys are just kind of guys, you know?
Yeah. Number five is Buffalo. They were number one last year.
They were number one last year. So. I know some of the real analytic dorks cited them being number one and said, yes, but the weather helped them more than any other defense in the league, too. I mean, they played some extremely windy games. That game against the Patriots when no one could throw the ball at all,
right,
you know. But it's a very good defense.
It's a very good defense. Tre'Davious White, though, still not back.
Yeah, that's a little concerning.
The torn ACL suffered in November. Might not be ready to start the season.
Mm-hmm.
Levi Wallace was the starting corner opposite him. He's now here.
He's the defender I think they can afford to lose least.
Yeah.
I mean, with all respect to those safeties, Von Miller, all those guys, they're going to need White.
The Chargers come in at six.
So I saw today they're the only defense in the league that has three $15 million guys or more. You know, Bosa, Mack. They may even have a fourth. So super high-paid defense, star power, kind of like the Rams. I mean, their head coach comes over from the Rams. I mean, they're built that way. I think it's a good group, though. And J.C. Jackson, they have four that are over $15
million. The Saints are seven.
Yes. They could get old, too.
Yeah. But, I mean,
Jordan and
you know, they've got a
DeMario
defensive-minded head coach now.
Yeah. That's a good group.
Yeah. The Cowboys at eight.
Yeah, they were so turnover-dependent last year.
I don't know if they're that group.
Yeah, I know the Steelers are coming soon here, and I would have them well ahead of Dallas. And I think Dallas is in a different tier than most of these teams we mentioned.
Yeah. Nine are the Steelers.
I would have them a little higher. I think it's a very good defense. A couple of the names you mentioned I would have Pittsburgh ahead of.
Yeah. So we'll see. I think that the Steelers' defense can be pretty good. If they can get back up to being a top 10 unit this year.
If run defense is even middle of the road, they'll be really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
10th are the Vikings.
Huh. I guess. I mean, they've put a lot of it, they invested quite a bit in there. You get the Neil Hunter back, Za'Darius Smith. The first two picks were on defense, you know. So I guess I can understand that.
No Packers up here yet. 11.
The Packers would be like number one for me.
11 are the Browns.
I don't think that's that unrealistic.
I don't know. I wouldn't have them ahead of the Packers, though.
I wouldn't have hardly any of these ahead of the Packers. I think the Browns' secondary is pretty good. You know, Newsom and Ward.
I don't know how they're
going to
stop the run, though.
I don't know. And I think their defensive tackles are very poor.
Yeah, they might be junk. 12 are the Titans.
That's a good group. I mean, their front four is really good. A lot of their corners are highly drafted. Can Farley be a guy or not?
Yeah.
You know, Byard's on that team. Yeah.
13 are the Broncos. Everybody thinks of the Broncos as like this dominant defense now.
I think it's a middle-of-the-road defense.
Yeah, I don't know if they are anymore. And they, you know, Vic Fangio's gone.
Yeah, I'd say that's a big loss. I think Surtain and the safety Simmons are total stars, but I don't think Chubb is. You know, I mean, the front seven's an okay, but not star-studded.
The Dolphins at 14.
I think they're middle-of-the-road.
Yeah. Still no Packers.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
That's kind of crazy. The Eagles at 15.
I think that's a pretty solid group, too. That D-line, I mean, you're going to throw Jordan Davis in with Fletcher Cox and Hargrave? Ugh.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
16 are the Bengals. That's too high for the Bengals.
Would you have the Browns or the Bengals? Or the Ravens, for that matter. I know the Ravens were one, but I'm not sure who the best defense outside. I think the Steelers are the best defense in the division.
I think so, too. I mean, Baltimore secondary is
really good.
Really good.
I think I'd have them over the Ohio teams.
Yeah. That's too high in the Bengals.
It's pretty average group.
Yeah.
And I mean, who are the best players?
I'm
especially
sure,
if Bates sits out.
I'm sure we're going to find some defenses here below this that are, I think, are better than.
Green Bay really comes
Green
to
Bay
mind.
17.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And I know their defense wasn't tremendous last year, but they added a lot. I mean, just on paper, I think it's as good as any.
Yeah. 18 is Carolina.
They were hurt by the offense more than any other defense in
Without
the league.
Without a doubt.
I mean,
just
no one was put in worse situations. So I would take their numbers from last year with a total grain of salt.
That's kind of the way I look at the Steelers' defense.
Very similar. That's what I would say, too.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there's offense, some complementary football
offense
helps here.
Offense plays a big role in how good your defense is.
Yeah, absolutely. You keep turning the ball over and going three and out, I mean, every defense is going to crumble.
Yeah. 19 is Washington. Think of Washington as a pretty good defensive team.
Yeah. A year ago, they would have been top five for me, and they didn't live up to that. But that was a lot of it was based on Chase Young and an awesome D-line that wasn't awesome. It was, you know, he wasn't awesome.
The linebackers weren't great.
No, they were a problem.
20 is the Jets.
Okay. They've invested a lot there. You know, the Sauce Gardeners of the world
and
Jermaine Johnson, you know. They're building something.
Patriots are 21st.
They're usually top 10-ish.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think of them. I think their numbers were pretty good last year.
You're taking J.C. Jackson out of the equation.
Right. They've always been
interceptions.
They've always been based on having a shutdown corner. They don't now.
They don't have that now.
I don't think they have a pass rusher really either.
I saw something. The NFL is putting out their top 100 players.
Yeah.
Matthew Judon was ranked like 52nd. I'm sorry.
I don't see him as a top 10 edge guy.
No.
Yeah,
you know,
let alone a top 50 type player.
Like he was ahead of Max Crosby.
Yeah, I don't think they're
close.
That's nuts. I don't think they're
close. That's nuts.
Crosby's a much better athlete, much more explosive, more productive.
Yeah, that one was done by the players. I question that.
That whole top 100 list every year, I roll my eyes at 20 of the picks.
Yeah. 22 of the Raiders.
Yeah.
They belong down here.
Yeah. I mean, Crosby and Chandler Jones is exciting.
Yeah. Oh, that was another one. Matthew Judon ahead of Chandler Jones.
Oh, ouch.
Come on.
Can't do that.
Come on.
Can't go there.
23 is the Colts.
They were awesome at taking the football away, which I don't think is an accident, the way that they're designed, but it won't keep up.
Yeah.
They would be higher for me. I mean, they have some stars at every level.
They do.
I mean, I think that'd be 10,
I'd rather
11.
Have their defense in Cincinnati's.
Or the Browns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would too. Then they added, like, Ngakoue, you know.
Right.
I mean, he may not play every snap, but he's going to get some sacks.
DeForest Buckner in the middle. Yeah. I mean, there's some guys
Leonard.
There.
Yeah, yeah. Moore.
24 are the Jaguars.
I've been impressed with what they've done. It's been quiet, but their front seven all of a sudden is really big and really physical, and it's going to give the Steelers a really difficult challenge. Yeah. And I know people roll, I mean, they can't handle the Jags. What are they? Well, this is preseason stuff here. I mean, I think you'll look at their front seven and be like, oh, these guys are good.
25 is the Seahawks.
I don't even know if I'd have them that high. Artie Burns might be a starting corner for that.
He might be a starting corner.
Right.
26 are the Texans.
They were the second defense that was hurt most by their offense. But it's not – I don't know who their stars are. I mean, Stingley's maybe the only well-above-average starter.
They drafted Jalen Petre as well.
Yeah, yeah.
He has a chance.
Yep, yep, yep.
27 is Detroit.
I really like their offense. I think the defense will be well behind the offense.
Yeah. 28 are the Chiefs.
I got to think they'll be better than that.
It
was bad last year, though.
Their
I mean, worse than people
realize. The
last
realized. 4 years. 24th, 14th, 18th, 26th.
Wow. 26 was the most recent?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that adds up. And people don't look at them that way.
No, no. They didn't get sacks last year either.
No, they did not. Very low on that list.
They were built
right.
to rush the passer, and they didn't rush
and
the passer.
And they didn't do that well, right. But they did. They turned Tyreek Hill into a lot of draft picks, and a lot of those were on defense.
Yeah.
If you look at their draft this year, it's heavy defense in Sky Moore.
29th are the Giants.
Okay.
That's about right.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like their defensive front, but I'm not going to fight you on that one.
30th is the Falcons.
I'm surprised there's anyone worse.
The Cardinals at 31.
I don't have high hopes for the Cardinals at all.
No.
Like, whatever their over-under win total is, I'm excited to bet the under on the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And part of it's because the defense is pretty rough.
That leaves the Bears at 32.
Wow. I know that the Bears are not going to be good, and they're going to be hindered by their offense all year. But I don't look at that as the worst defense in the league.
Yeah, well, maybe he's projecting this because the offense is going to be struggling.
Yeah, and they lost Mack, and I mean, I know they drafted two guys high in the secondary, but it's not I don't think it's a brutal defense.
Yeah.
I don't know if Roquan will be there, though. I guess that's somewhat important.
The thing that he writes here about the Steelers is that he's concerned about the cornerback play.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know that I am.
I'm less concerned than he is. That's the only thing I read of the article is just the Steeler paragraph. And he really praises the star power in the front seven, and I think the coaches, from what I remember.
Says that,
but he was a little worried about the corners.
Adding Ogunjobi could be a move that really pays off.
Yeah, yeah. I've actually heard him on the air talk about that. He loved that move.
Yeah.
I don't look at the corners as a liability. I don't think it's a strength. But I don't think it's a weakness.
I think when you have the pass rush that the Steelers have,
right,
that goes hand in hand. You don't need stars in the second, cornerback position.
And we've talked this to no end, is I think they have seven defensive backs that are good players, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's a deep group. It's not necessarily loaded with star power, but okay.
Yeah.
You know, they've won Super Bowls without star power.
Right. It's kind of been a formula around here. If you don't have Blunt or Woodson or, you know, they've had a lot of good, not great corners that on great defenses.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see how that works out. But certainly the Steelers coming in ninth on that list. According
I'd probably have them six-ish.
Shieldcopedia.
Yeah, yeah.
Not to be confused with Wikipedia. That must be his brother, Wick.
Wick and Shield, yeah. And he's very analytics-driven. He's a big EPA guy and stuff like that. But I think Shield does really good work.
Yeah. That was the Ringer's top defenses for this year, according to Shieldcopedia. We'll get to the offenses when we come back. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. We'll be back with more right after this.
Here we go, Steelers! Here we go! This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson.
Bringing it on home.
I am Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson. You are listening to our live coverage here from Steelers training camp at St. Vincent College here on ESPN 970 and Steelers Nation Radio. And we were just going over some of the top defenses on by Shieldcopedia, not to be confused with Wikipedia. It's on the Ringer. And Matt, Steelers wrapping up their practice earlier today, kind of a walkthrough type practice.
Yeah, not a real intense one.
Yeah, not super intense. So we're looking here at his top offenses now, and he's got the Chiefs number one.
It's going to be different.
I don't know if I'm going to buy in on that one just yet.
My worry is, what if this is a year Kelce gets old?
Yeah.
You know, because they're more Kelce-dependent than they've ever been. I mean, I trust Mahomes and Reed in that offensive line to get it to be very, very good. But they're going to have to change the way they play. And if Kelce takes a step back, which he's 33 or 34,
yeah,
it's coming. You know, it would hurt them.
Yeah, I don't know that. I mean, the receiving group of Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Mecole Hardman, who was taken
injured,
off today with groin injury, Juju Smith-Schuster and Sky Moore scare anybody.
I forget what outlet I've been on. I've been talking so much the last couple of days. If I were them, I might put an offer in for Kareem Hunt or Josh Jacobs or...
I don't think they want Kareem Hunt.
I don't know that they want him back.
Yeah.
And Jacobs might not move within the division. But there's a handful of running backs you could get. I would consider... I don't like their backs.
Everyone's talking about Pacheco
being the guy. You know, yeah. He's the phenom of camp.
They have to fight Dr. Ferdy Pacheco.
Right. And I don't trust Edwards-Helaire at all either. If you're going to play a different way, I want a better back.
Number two is Buffalo.
Sure.
Okay, I get that one.
Yeah, their O-line's not great, though.
Yeah. But Allen kind of covers some of that stuff.
Yeah, no doubt.
Absolutely. Three's the Chargers. I think the Chargers might be the best offense in the league this year.
Yeah. I think they would be my vote.
There's a lot to like there.
I think Herbert's going to Mahomes-Allen-like trajectory here, too. The O-line's really good. They got weapons. Yeah, that's a good group.
Yeah, they got a nice group of running backs as well, led by Aguilar. It's a nice group.
Yeah.
Four is Tampa Bay. You know Tampa Bay being a top offense again this year?
Probably. I mean, assuming Brady's Brady, I mean, I'd be shocked if they're not top 10. I mean, I know the interior of their line's different. There's some injuries right now. I don't love the Julio signing, but I think he's enough to get them through these Godwin injuries and things.
Five is the Bengals.
Yeah. The O-line's better? Sure.
If it's better.
And I think it almost has nowhere to go but up.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a top 10
Burrow,
line.
I mean, so much that's on Burrow, though, as well. Mm-hmm. Don't hold the football.
No, you're right about that.
Hold the football.
Right.
Six is the Rams.
Yeah. As long as the Stafford arm stuff isn't a real deal. Yeah. Their O-line's not tremendous either.
Yeah, I mean, you got Joe Newtboom replacing Andrew Whitworth at left tackle.
There's not much pedigree on that O-line.
No. Seven is the Broncos.
And I think that's giving Russell Wilson too much credit.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't played great for a couple of years.
You know, they've already had a wide receiver injury.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that their offensive line is great.
I would say it's above average at best.
It's probably better than what Wilson played with in Seattle.
I know that it's that. What's funny to me is, like, oh, Wilson's going to go crazy with this new group. And I think he'll be better than he's been. But – are these wide receivers really better than DK Metcalf and Lockett?
No, that's what I was just going to say. He took a step back with the receiver.
Right, and I like Sutton, Judy, and that's fine, but I'd rather have DK and Lockett.
And so was Seattle in a top 10 offense last year?
No. Not even close.
No.
Right.
So I don't know.
I think that team might disappoint people more. You know, like, I would bet the under on their win total.
Yeah. Eight is the Packers.
That's a lot of credit
for
Aaron
Rodgers. You want to talk about bad wide receivers.
Right. I mean, is that passing game going to be a top 15 passing game? I bet not.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers carries a lot of weight there. I get it.
Tons. I get it, too. I mean, quarterbacks rule the world. But, man, I think they're – and their O-line's still injured as could be.
Yeah, they get problems there. And I like both backs, but
– great. But it's hard to be a top, what, eight offense with on the back
running
of two
through,
backs.
Yeah, running your offense through two running backs. That's tough.
That's a tough one.
Nine are the Eagles.
Pretty interesting. You know they're going to run the ball well. And then you throw A.J. Brown in the mix. Hurts doesn't have to be a superstar, but you know he's going to make plays.
Yeah.
I mean, good line, too.
How are they looked at differently than the Steelers?
Their offense last year was 1,000 times better than the Steelers.
I get that because they ran the ball like crazy.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, they were one of the best running teams in the league as opposed to one of the worst.
But you're saying, okay, that Hurts will look great with great receivers. Well, the Steelers have great receivers.
Yeah, but I think the
Trubisky's not getting that same kind of love.
Agreed. I mean, Hurts versus Trubisky to me is a conversation.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
These two offenses against each other is not a conversation to me. Like, I think the Eagles have the best O-line in the league.
That's
the
difference.
If that O-line was here,
that's the difference,
they would
be
eight.
But
my
point here is that, you know, people are saying that Jalen Hurts is, he's going to have a top 10 offense this year.
Right.
It doesn't matter if he's good or not.
But at least he has legs.
We're going to get to the Steeler argument here later, and they're not anywhere near this high.
No.
And yet.
But I think they might be if they had the Eagles O-line.
My point is if you put Trubisky in that offense, behind that offensive line, would they be saying that they're it's a top nine, a top 10 offense?
That I don't know. I mean, just the fact that Hurts is such
players.
A good runner is – and they moved everything around for Hurts. But – if Trubisky was on the Eagles and Hurts wasn't, they're probably 12th instead of 9th, something like that. I mean, if that's the case, then I'm on board with it.
But I think Trubisky's a better passer.
I do, too.
So,
yeah. Hurts might not even be their quarterback next year.
Right. 10 is the Cowboys.
Okay. But you just said Lamb has some sort of injury. They don't have anything in the wide receivers.
Yeah,
their receivers are rough.
Yeah, it's really bad. You're looking at rookies Jalen Tolbert and Noah Brown.
Mm-hmm.
He has 39 career catches. He's number three right now.
I think they're number one in the league, though, in yards per play last year. I mean, so there's.
I don't think they will be this year.
I don't either. I don't either.
11's the Vikings. I think they might be better than that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that line's decent. Cousins is decent. Better offensive-minded coach. Jefferson might be the best receiver in the league. You know, and Dalvin Cook's not going anywhere, right?
Yeah, Dalvin Cook. 12 are the Colts. That might be a stretch.
That seems a little high to me.
That's a bit of a stretch to me. I know you love Matt Ryan. I think he's more of an accumulator than he is a great quarterback.
I don't know that I love him. I respect him. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
I think he's an accumulator.
And I agree with you, he's an accumulator. I think he'll move the football well and is a good fit for them. But I don't know that he's light years better than Wentz.
Who's their go-to guy in the passing game?
I think it's Pittman.
Michael Pittman's doesn't. Is anybody really scared of Michael Pittman? I like Michael Pittman.
And the key is they don't have anybody else.
He's a nice two.
See, I like him more than that. I think he's on like the same level as Deontay.
Okay, when people in Pittsburgh are talking about Deontay as a nice second receiver,
right? And I think both those guys are borderline ones, high end twos.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they don't have – they'd kill for Claypool.
They don't have the compliment to him.
Right. They could use Freiermuth. You know, like, there's nobody
else.
Then
they have a tight end that you look at and go, this guy's good.
They're counting on Paris Campbell's day.
Right.
He's played 15. And their O-line's overrated.
Paris Campbell's played 15 games in three seasons.
Yeah.
That's what you're counting
on. That's what you're counting on.
Yeah, good luck with that. The Raiders at 13.
To me, if their O-line is league average, they'll be top five. But their O-line might be 32nd.
Might be bad.
It might be really
might
bad.
Might be bad. And we know that Derek Carr struggles under pressure.
Mm-hmm. There's a graphic there.
Yes.
McDaniels without Brady. My hunch is it's not real flattering to McDaniels. Or is it?
It's actually not bad. In 2008 with the Patriots, they had the number seven. They were seventh in DVOA.
Okay.
2009 with the Broncos, 18th with Kyle Orton.
Yeah. That's when they drafted Tebow.
2010, they were 17th with Kyle Orton. 2011 with the Rams, 32nd with Sam Bradford.
Ooh.
Yeah. 2020 with the Patriots with Cam Newton, they were 23rd. And then last year, they were 10th.
Yeah.
How are they 10th?
I would say some of their numbers last year offensively don't stack up to what I saw on tape.
No. And we'll get to them here in a second as well. I think it could be a good offense. I mean, they've got weapons all over the place.
Yeah, and I'm a Carr fan.
I just don't know if they know who the running back is there.
Right. I think the O-line's really bad.
Yeah, I think the O-line's pretty bad. 14 is the Ravens.
I think I'd have them right in the middle, right in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
They're hard to play against.
15 are the 49ers.
I think I'd be higher on them, but there's massive quarterback questions.
Yeah, I don't know what he is. He's still throwing less than 300 passes.
In a long stretch.
Since high school.
Right. And the interior O-line is a real problem area right now, or questionable area.
Yeah. 16th is the Patriots.
I'm going to go no on that. I mean, I know their numbers last year were really good. Right. And all reports are unbelievably bad.
They don't even know who's calling the plays there.
Right.
It's a bit of an issue.
No. Would you swap the Steelers' offense for the Patriots?
No.
I would not either.
No. Including the quarterback.
I mean, I would swap their O-line.
Okay.
But that's it.
Yeah.
Right.
At 17 are the Cardinals.
I might be higher on them than that.
I don't know what they're going to start the season with. Hopkins is out.
Oh, I'm down on the team.
I don't trust James Conner to stay healthy.
They're old and little.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a terrible combination. But that offense, I think, could be okay.
18 is Jacksonville. That's a bit of a leap of faith.
I can't go that high on them. I think it'll be better. I'm a Lawrence 18th? Fan,
yeah.
But not 18th.
18th. 19th is the Saints. Really?
Hmm. See, I don't have a problem with that. I liked how Winston played last year, and he was throwing to jabronis. I mean, now you're throwing to Landry, Olave, and Thomas.
Some of that though was their defense as well. Like, he had a 5-touchdown game where he threw for 122 yards.
Oh, I know. His stats were a little overblown.
Yeah.
And it's a small sample. But they have a good line, Kamara.
Maybe.
Yeah.
20 is the Dolphins.
I wouldn't have them that high. Yeah. I love their two receivers, but I don't trust their quarterback or O-line at all.
Or the running backs.
Right.
Are you going to start Edmonds?
Right. There's kind of a bunch of guys.
Yeah. 21 is the Titans.
I think they'd have them very, very low.
Yeah.
I think this is the year their offense crumbles.
I think it starts to fall off. Yep. They did not replace A.J. Brown.
Not even close.
Not even close.
And their O-line is not good, and people think it is.
22 is the Panthers.
Maybe. They vastly improved their offensive line. Just not being Sam Darnold might be good enough to get them to league average if McCaffrey's healthy all year.
Just don't be Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Right. That's, I think, all they need out of Baker, to be average.
But Matt Rule's an offensive guy.
Well, I think his job's
he should be better than that by now.
Oh, agreed. But they got some dudes.
23 is the Giants.
I wouldn't go there.
I'd take the Steelers offense
right
now over the Giants.
Right. I like their tackles. I mean, they finally have a foundation of an O-line.
I don't dislike the Steelers' tackles, though.
No. I mean, they're not former top 10 pick type guys.
No, but,
you know, right.
You spent top 10 picks in those
guys. Right. I mean, Daniel Jones has not been great.
24 is the Lions.
I'd be higher on them.
Really?
I think they'll run the ball and have a great line. They have weapons. I don't like Goff that much.
Goff is still.
Yeah.
And they don't trust Goff.
No, and they don't trust Goff. But I think they will run the ball, and they have weapons.
We'll see when Jamison Williams comes back. But,
right. You know, I don't know how much you can factor that in.
Adding DJ Chark on the outside does not.
No, but if he's your third receiver, I like it.
Okay.
You know.
25 is the Commanders.
Yeah. It's fine. I guess they're 25th.
26 is the Steelers.
Yeah, that seems a little rough. I read that one, too, and I get it. I mean, I would question the O-line heavily, and I would question the quarterback. I mean, these guys aren't at practice every day, and those are areas of concern. The skill guys are great.
I think Mitch Trubisky's getting sold
a little short.
A lot short.
Mm-hmm.
It
wouldn't shock me if after a month or 6 weeks of the season, the narrative across the country is a little different on Mitch.
A little different, yeah. 27 is Seattle. We just saw them. They might be last. I mean, I just don't know. I don't trust.
Besides Metcalf and Lockett, I see nothing there.
Yeah,
the backs are fine, but right. They have the worst quarterback situation in the league.
Yeah.
Easily.
I mean, it's just not good. 28 is the Jets.
I'd have Seattle below the Jets.
Yeah, I would too.
Although Wilson hasn't looked good even before his injury.
Even before the
injury.
Right,
there hasn't been even good reports.
29 are the Texans.
I think they're sneakily better, but they were 31st last year. You know?
They were really bad.
Yeah.
30 is the Bears. I might have them last.
They might be last.
Their offensive line's a junk.
Really, really bad.
Really
right.
junk.
If this Fields make a play.
31 is Atlanta.
It's pretty bad, too. At least they have two playmakers.
And then that leaves, not ranked, Browns.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't know, even know where you put them. If Deshaun Watson is playing, where do you put the Browns?
10.
That high?
I think he's really, really good. I mean, I don't think he'd be immediately the player he was.
I don't fear any of their weapons.
No, but
Cooper's
I think
okay.
they'd have a great running game.
Yeah.
And a great quarterback and a great O-line. That, to me, gets you 10th-ish.
With Brissett, it's
28.
It's really
29.
Bad.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
Yeah. I mean, not much different than the Bears and Falcons and those guys.
Yeah. We'll see.
Similar to Seattle, really.
Yeah. Still no news
run the ball,
on that
play
yet.
Defense, but you know.
It's going to come out here at some point.
Maybe by tomorrow.
Maybe by tomorrow.
I'm thinking the next 24 hours we got a chance to get a final verdict, finally.
Yeah.
I'd just like to know.
I think the Browns would like to know, too.
I'm sure Deshaun would and the whole league would kind of like to know.
Absolutely.
But, yeah.
Joe Burrow revealed that his appendix was actually ruptured. It wasn't a normal.
Oh, really?
Appendicitis.
I guess he's back, from what I understand.
Yeah.
Right. But I think you want to play the Jets, and I think you want to play the Bengals early in the season.
Yeah, and, I definitely think
and same
so.
With New England, and the Steelers play all those guys early in the season.
Yeah,
all
I don't
those
know guys when New England's going to figure right out this whole play call.
Right. Now they have all these things hanging over them. I mean, of course you want to play the Browns early in the season too, but and the Steelers are fortunate enough that they're doing all those things.
Yeah, we'll see how they come out of the gate and things of that
I'm sure Burrow will have a great year, but I also bet deep down he's like, man, I wish I could have practiced the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean
how much better Trubisky and Pickett get in the last 2 weeks,
I guess
standing
here and watch practices for 3 weeks. That doesn't get me any better.
And they're running with one of the Allen boys.
Yeah.
Not the right one. Not the good one.
Been another beautiful day out here. Another nice crowd here at St. Vincent College. I know the
good environment.
The fans weren't super excited about the way practice was
run. If
it was
your first time here, you don't know any different.
Yeah. Well, that's
they're not here every day like we are. But it wasn't the most exciting of practices.
It was not the most exciting practice.
And I bet tomorrow's isn't either.
Probably not, but that's you're trying to get through these things, get everybody healthy into that second game and see where you can go from there.
Yeah, teaching type things here. I mean, this is, walkthroughs is a one way of looking at this. You know, mental reps, knowing where to be, knowing your assignments, picking up this blitz, making these adjustments. Don't get hurt.
Did we mention not to get hurt?
Yep. So I think they accomplished that today. Hopefully they accomplish that tomorrow. I'm psyched for Jacksonville. We got one more show before that.
We will do that tomorrow.
That'll
do it for today. So for my partner, Matt Williamson, for Jacob Breck here on site keeping us on the air, for Zach back in the studio, making sure we are staying on time with everything as well, I am Dale Lally. We thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. We will be back to talk to you again tomorrow. We'll see you then.